We love you because you first loved us. You've made us alive when we believed while we were yet in sin. You had mercy on us in our state. For you're a compassionate Lord. You're a merciful and faithful high priest. Lord, you made a way for us to come into your presence, to be part of your family. We thank you, Father God, that we have all spiritual blessings provided for us in this new covenant. And Father, we just stand fast in them. Father, we have expectation for your Holy Spirit today to speak to each one, to strengthen and edify us as a people. And we thank you for it, Father, for leading us in truth today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I can't get away from what I've been teaching. Not that I'm trying to. But the Lord just has me staying on this. And that is, as a text, I've been speaking from Luke 8:22. But the basic main thought there is that there's a storm on the horizon, a big storm, actually. And I want to speak to you some things to that. But as a text, we look at Luke 8:22, says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples." Now, these weren't ocean liners. These were just little boats. And he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And they launched forth. Now, here at this point, he knew the will of God. He declared it. As far as he was concerned, he was completely committed to that. And that's what was going to happen. Nothing's going to stop him. So as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, where the boat was, there's more than one boat, and were in jeopardy. They came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we perished." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Now, Jesus, as I mentioned, he declared the will of God. And we see, if we were to read on, that he went and cast 2,000 demons out of one man. And you know, there were some miraculous things happening there, but he knew that ahead. Many times after ministry, he would separate himself and go up on a mountain and pray, like, all night sometimes. These people want to say, "Well, I just pray 3 minutes and then go my merry way," and make a doctrine out of it. Well, Jesus, there's times he prayed all night. Maybe we need to also. But he didn't do that all the time, but there was times, he had different times of prayer, but generally after a lot of ministry times, then he would separate himself, he would rest physically and seek the Lord as to what the Father had for him, and many times it would be go to this place or go to that place, which in this case, he was going across the lake to a particular place. So as they're sailing, he falls asleep. I can't say that would ever happen to me, but you'd have to knock me out. I know Brother Alan and I were talking. We don't sleep on airplanes. So if you're flying and traveling like 20 hours, it kind of wears you out after a while. But anyway, Jesus, he was able to just lay down and sleep, okay? Now, he's asleep during the storm, and you imagine a boat's doing this and water splashing over it. And I guess we could say he was a heavy sleeper. But I'm just joking. They came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master," and he arose and rebuked the wind. Now, the thing that I've been sharing with you is that it just, for quite a while, like, I've known things that are coming. The Lord hasn't really released me to say too much. And just even just in looking, if you pay attention to what's going, anyone can see it. But we're in for a really, really bad time up ahead. Now, how far up, I can't say, but I tend to believe it's this year yet. And it's a storm. Now, the thing with a storm, what I want to point out again, I said it each week, is that the boat was going to sink, and here was half a dozen professional fishermen. You had others, I mean, like Matthew was a tax collector, but half of them were fishermen. So they knew the waters, they knew how to navigate it, and if something put fear in them, you know it had to be bad. That's my point. It had to be bad because they had developed all the knowledge and ability to sail rough seas. But this was so bad, they were afraid. They were afraid. And you know, you can have people around you that are like solid as a rock. But if you see them getting afraid, you know. And a lot of times, little kids, it's like that. The parents are real solid as a rock. If they see daddy getting fear, and there's something seriously wrong. And they were in such fear, and they went and woke up Jesus. Master, Master, we're going to perish. We're going to die. Jesus rebukes the wind and the sea. Now, as we're going along into this, I want to begin with this thought and make sure it's very strong in us that in the midst of the storm, you can call out to Jesus. And you don't have to be like some semi-perfect person, because you're not. You never will be, okay, when we get to heaven. But we're in the process. Paul said, and I think he was rather developed, he said he's not attained perfection yet. Somebody said, who would I or you be to think we are? But anyway, and you might say, well, why are you saying that? Because some people think that about themselves. If everyone just be like them, life's problems would all be all over. Well, how silly is that, really? Well, here they're afraid, they call out to Jesus, and what we want to grasp from that before I get into other things is that no matter what, how bad the storm or where you are in it, you can call out to him. Now, he doesn't slumber or sleep, the Bible says. So you don't have to be worried you're not going to wake him up. You know, sometimes, like I might not fall asleep at night, and I'll be like, and just the other night I was listening to like preaching half the night. Well, anyway, I was asleep in the morning, so finally I wake up. I don't know what time it was, and Donna says, I was trying to wake you up, I was shaking your feet and everything, but because I didn't sleep earlier, I was sleeping pretty heavy then. And you don't have a problem with Jesus. You just call his name. And I like to use the illustration. When we had a women's Bible study, and I still remember we were in that building down there, and I filled in for Donna that 1 week, and there was about 8 to 10 ladies with infants. Some of you were, your kids were there. And I'm sitting there trying to teach, and one would cry. And all the antennas would go up in the women's head. And every mother knew the cry of her baby. And they would quietly get up, excuse themselves, and go over, because they knew their baby, you know, needed changed or whatever. And even though there was somebody there to do it, especially if you're a first-time mom, it's different. You know, after you have a couple kids, and you know, they'll live through it type of thing. But people have that first. I mean, they can just whimper, and they're like, huh. You know, went in a helicopter over them and everything. But it tickled me. It just stood out to me how all those ladies, I mean, you got 10 infants back there, and through a block wall, they could hear their baby cry. They knew the voice of their baby. God knows your voice. He knows you. You cry to him. I don't care how feeble it would seem to you. He hears your cry. And just like, especially you ladies, I'm really, I mean, you can get more out of this illustration than the guys can. You know how that tugs on your heart. You hear your baby cry. I mean, nothing's going to stop you. You're going to meet that baby's need. It's interesting how with infants, especially if you're breastfeeding, and I know Jared, he would eat every 2 hours on the dot. I mean, you could literally, how about Donna, you could watch the second hand go up, and when it would hit 12, he would cry. And every now and then, maybe I'd hear him first, and I'd say, Donna, sorry, I can't help you out here. You're going to have to get up. I just say that humor. I'm just humor. I wasn't being ignorant or anything, because many times later on, I did get up. But anyway, when your heart's touched with compassion, you'll move. You'll be quick to move. And nothing's going to stop you. And you could have your own deal going on. I want to sleep. But you got to get up for that baby, because love says so. We'll get back to that later here. But here, Jesus responds, and he'll respond to you. Don't think that you're not good enough or anything else. We've been cleansed. We've been given a gift of righteousness. We can boldly come to him, and we're going to hit on that some more too. So he rebukes the storm. It stops, and he says to them, where is your faith at? Where is your faith at? Now, the point here is he wasn't rebuking them like, matters to you guys, you bunch of idiots. He wasn't doing that at all, but rather he's asking a question to get them to consider, because what his desire was that they, having watched him, followed him, heard him teach, would know that they could exercise authority in that same way. And what we need to grasp here is that first we need to deal with the storm on our own life, but God wants us in love to go out beyond that. We can speak to somebody else's storm. We can bring peace to the situation in someone else's life. Now, again, as a parent, you learn to do that. You learn to minister peace. It's one of the first things you really learn and to do. You love them and you minister peace to them. I remember working in the nursery at times when we had a Wednesday night service, and sometimes I'd go back there, Don and I would, and you'd always have, like certain age kids sometimes when they're leaving their mom, it's like it's a big traumatic thing for them, and they're crying, so you pick them up. So I'd pick them up and walk around the room and pray in the spirit and sing, and then like maybe there was like a Noah picture painted on the wall, things like that. And before you know it, they're forgetting all about mom because you're ministering peace. And that's one of the goals in nursery, right, Marie? Where you want, there's things to be ministered, not just babysitting. Throw them a toy and let them, beat on the wall or whatever. But to minister peace and for a young child to know their love. See, that's the beginning stuff. Well, for us, God never stops with that. He's always going to minister peace. And we were singing a couple songs to that effect there, that he gives us peace in the storm. Now, we need to know that, because as I was sharing, there's a storm coming. And I say this in the same manner about, well, I lose track of time sometimes. It's probably been like 6 years ago, just times of prayer, and the Holy Spirit kept impressing upon my spirit. Call it whatever you want, but he was speaking to me that the spirit of fear is going to be released. It's going to come in waves and be based on three things: fear of unknown diseases, fear of terrorism, and economic related fears, which the last one is what were one of the things that's coming here. Okay, we're seeing like slow build up to it, but there's a big whammy to come now. That happened, and what I did, my instinct, began teaching the word how to overcome fear back in. So then when the clamps were put down and 90% of the body of Christ obeyed a man instead of God and didn't go to worship, y'all came. And there was all this fear being put out to you. Oh, you're going to get sick and die. Well, the people getting the shots got more sick than the ones that didn't. That's a fact. Well, anyway, God will warn us of things to come. There is an aspect of ministry called warnings. Paul said in Colossians 1, I didn't cease to teach you and warn you. And various other places I could go to. There's various aspects to the ministry of the word. There's teaching and preaching. Preaching you declare, teaching creed, understanding. There's exhortation, you're encouraged to go on. Comfort is bringing the awareness, basically God's with you. There's edification, build up knowing who you are, what God's provided for you. There's correction, there's rebuke. See, there's various aspects. Sometimes people want to dial in the way they like it. That's where if somebody's only listening like online or something like that, they'll do that. I guarantee you. They're going to dial into what they want to hear. Where in the pastoral realm, the full gamut of the ministry of the word needs to come. Now, it may not all come through me. Some of it may come through another person or other minister. However, it all needs to come at the leading of the Holy Spirit as he sees we need it. Now, warnings are a word spoken relative to a danger that's up ahead. That's what a warning is about. There's lots of warnings in life, lots of warnings. And some of them will really get your attention, and some maybe we won't pay attention to. Remember riding down a road about 70 miles an hour in Nigeria, and there was a sign there, it was a skull and crossbones. And I thought, why would there be a sign of skull and crossbones? So I asked a guy, oh, the road's out up ahead. You know, it's like a heavy rain just washed the road away. There's like a 10, 12 foot gully with a 10 foot drop off, which meant if you drive across that, you're dead outside of a miracle. And so that was one you need to kind of pay attention to. You know, there's some warnings that you know that the danger could be very destructive or even mean death. And some warnings maybe are more minor. Now, as a parent, you have to warn your kids of a lot of things that could hurt them. And you don't want to overdo it to where they're not paying attention, or you have the little boy that cried wolf syndrome. You can't do that where it's an overdone. However, it has to come at times. And it's like a lot of young people nowadays need warned of alcoholism, drug addiction, and all that. And some will still go do it. I mean, over the years, I've seen many do that. They'll still do it, even though they heard a warning. And they rejected it. So to reject a warning is a very foolish thing to do. In some things, we can see that so easily. But in some things, maybe not so easily. In any case, we need to be able to hear warnings from God. And what I'm just bringing to you is a warning of what's to come. God, in his love and mercy for us, will warn us on ahead of things. It could be something like right ahead, and it could be something down years ahead even, for that matter. But in his love, he does it out of his love. He's not rubbing our nose in it. It's out of his love. He'll do that. But we need to have enough reverence for God to take heed and hear. Now, as we're looking into this, the Holy Spirit is ministering to me this week. I'm not going to go into all the negatives of what's coming. There's some I know. There's some I'm not sure of. Some things, timing. But see, that shouldn't be our point of focus. If you want to know what bad things might come, and some people tune into their local prophet for to try and gather information like that. If you want to hear all that could go wrong, it's so in your own ability you can stop it. Let me repeat that. If you want to know everything bad that could happen, the reason you would want to know that, so in your ability, you can try to prevent it or stop it. Now, in the natural, it might be some things you can do that within the natural. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a God warning. And the focus should not be on all the negative things, but the focus needs to be on what do I do as a believer that I'm going to come out victorious over this thing and not end up, destroyed by the storm. And I want to stress that here right now, today. Our focus cannot be on what could happen to me because that brings fear. Plus a trusting in self, but rather we need to see what we need to be in God that we can have the victory over that. Now, that being said, wisdom may have you do certain things in the natural, but our trust can never be in that. Our trust can't be in it. With the storm, when they were in the boat, there was no way out. There was no plan B. There was no fallback. There was no safety net. They were going to die. The storm was all around them. And sometimes people think they can live in a little controlled way, that the problems in these end times and in this world aren't going to touch them. No, it's coming to all our doorstep in that sense. We all have to be able to, and even if something doesn't happen to you, the fear of it happening, if you just are hearing things happen to other people, the fear that can get on people is just beyond belief. So what I want to focus on, a few things from the Word, is what's going to help us navigate through. Now, if he shows you something you should do specifically, praise the Lord, that's good. But that can't be my focus. And a lot of times, I remember seeing this over the years ago, there would be certain people, Bible teachers and believers, they wanted to study the book of Revelation because they wanted to try to hear all that might go wrong so they can somehow go do something about it in their own ability. So there would arise movements of people, we're going to move to this mountain area and there's nothing there. Is there a safe place in the world? In the world now? Not really. And I always like to refer to Randy McMillan when assassins were being sent to kill pastors and political leaders and business people down in Cali. His best friend was murdered right in front of the church. And I said, Randy, what are you going to do? And he said, I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. I'll never forget that. That went into my spirit. I feel safer in the will of God than in a safe place. So, praise God. Well, God delivered him and his wife numerous times. So there's things in the Word we want to look at. I do want to remind you of one of the verses I was sharing from last week, and that's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, we are made kings and priests. We are made kings and priests. Now, that's what was declared about us prior to all the stuff coming in the Great Tribulation time. And prior to that, chapter 2 and 3, he spoke of things coming to seven of the churches in the Middle Eastern area there, of things that were going to come to them. But he that overcomes, and would be blessed in this way or that way, we have to overcome whatever it is in our lifetime that's coming at us, whatever it might be. We should never look at someone else and say, well, it's not fair, they have it easier. Well, they have a test and a challenge, it's easier. Oh, my. Well, kings and priests. So last week I was sharing a little bit about being a priest. And I'll maybe get to that another time, but I want to get to something else here. But I'm just saying as a foundation, I never saw that before. That's something came to me last Sunday morning, Revelation. he gave the answer before he got into all that other stuff. It's going to happen. It was real short and sweet, which means we can remember it. He made us kings and priests. If I can learn to walk as a king and a priest in the kingdom of God, I can walk in victory over the storm that I would encounter. Now, I was touching more on that with the aspect of a priest, but that with kings. Kings exercise authority. And there are some things we need to exercise authority. Now, we can't, there was a wrong sort of teaching years ago when we first started. I mean, like you can cast Satan into hell or something. No, we can't do that. Jesus will do that. He's free to roam the earth. But what I can do is keep him out of my space. Keep him out of my face and out of my space. Because I have authority over my own life and where my feet are treading. So I need to exercise that. Now, as the enemy would try to overcome you, and you're taking charge over your space, that's going to be a witness to somebody else who doesn't know how to do that, who observes that and sees that. And they're going to say, what are you doing here? I mean, what? Like they did. How do you do that? Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. I love the book of Hebrews. One of the things became a joke in Bible school, whatever book I was teaching on that day, I said, oh, I love that book. After some weeks or a couple months, they caught on. Like, I love it all. But this one I especially love because the revelation that's in the Hebrew epistle is a revelation of Jesus Christ as our high priest. And that revelation, what that provides for us, will take us unto a victory. Now, the people he was writing to were under great persecution and pressure. And three different places, it speaks of them being tempted to walk away, to go back. Chapter 6, chapter 10, and chapter 12. Of them allowing bitterness to come in and to just walk away from God. Well, what good is I'm serving the Lord because I'm dealing with all this stuff?